So our text is from Matthew chapter 13, these words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You may be seated. That is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as my wife and I and our sons, Gabriel and Ethan, traveled through Wisconsin and Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana again, Missouri, and then Iowa, before returning to Minnesota this last week, we had the opportunity to stop in those various states and take a look at this shop and that shop and wander through them and take a look at all sorts of different things. And I was struck as we were doing that in different states at how we assign value, to things. At an antique store, for example, in rural Ohio, I spotted a clock from around 1890 for which the owner was asking about $200. A few days later, however, in Hannibal, Missouri, which is kind of a tourist mecca there north of St. Louis, in a clock shop, a similar clock, almost exactly the same clock, had an asking price of close to $2,000. Sure, there could be all sorts of reasons why that one clock in Ohio was valued at $200 and the other in Missouri at $2,000, but what really was determining the asking price was not the location, but the value attributed to those clocks by their owners. The one owner may have just wanted to get rid of an old clock, didn't know much about, in which he had no interest. $200, there it is, please take it. The other, living in the world of clocks, working in a clock store, admiring the workmanship of this clock, fully understanding its importance and making a living by doing so, he placed a much greater value on his clock, and so the price was much higher. But they were pretty much the same clock. But we know that that's how this works, isn't it? We all possess items that we ourselves consider to be of the highest value that to others would have no value whatsoever. We also have items for which we've paid hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, to which we are not attached in the slightest. For what ultimately determines the value, the true value of anything that we possess? What determines the value? Well, it's our heart, isn't it? It's our heart. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be, we learn from Holy Scripture. And we could turn that around and say something that's also true, and that is that our heart actually determines what our treasure is. Our heart determines what our treasure is. So how do we know what our treasure is, what we truly value? Well, by the way we treat it, right? What things in our homes do we have behind glass doors? Which things do we have carefully wrapped up in tissue paper in a drawer or even in a safe deposit box in a bank? Conversely, what things do we have rusting away behind our shed in the backyard? We understand this, and our text addresses it, doesn't it? How so? By comparing the kingdom of God, that is the church, that is our life in Jesus Christ, to a man who finds the most valuable thing he can find, the ultimate treasure, a treasure of such worth that he gladly sells everything he has, everything, and he buys that treasure for us, the church. That treasure is the forgiveness of sins, which is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. That's that pearl, the forgiveness of sins we have in Jesus Christ. Yes, the priceless treasure of the kingdom of God, it's not just Jesus, but what Jesus did for us, the Son of God did for us by means of his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. For let's face it, the forgiveness of sin is found nowhere else but in that Jesus Christ. That's where we find it, nowhere else in the entire world. Jesus, that's it. Forgiveness isn't found by praying five times a day to Allah as we're facing Mecca. It's not found by pouring milk over the statue of an elephant. The forgiveness of sin is also not found by supporting every cause under the sun, of being concerned about the right things, or even maintaining our earthly treasures to the best of our abilities. No, the forgiveness of sin is only found by believing in Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, as our Lord and Savior from sin. And so what also comes through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ to us? we have the forgiveness of sin in Jesus, what do we get? A truly clear conscience. And what else? Peace in our souls. Now, eternal life being also a benefit of faith in Jesus Christ, what do Christians have? What do we have? We have that for which the world is constantly seeking. We have life, a clear conscience, a soul at peace. And the world is seeking these things all the time. It seeks for them in many ways, of course. It seeks for these things through exercise, through diet, through hobbies, clubs, travel, all sorts of things. As we ate breakfast in our hotel in Lexington, for example, Lexington, Kentucky, the room began to fill with all manner of children, and they were really dressed strangely. They had these weird short pants on, and they had these big long boots and these weird tight-fitting shirts, and some had these weird helmets. Not something I've seen here in Minnesota. And then we realized that there was a horse jumping competition nearby. And in the parking lot were parked impressive trucks and trailers used to transport the horses, obviously of great value to Lexington. So obviously there are those in the world who highly value such a pursuit. They look for something from it. They're willing to spend all sorts of money on it and time and travel. Is that where they're looking for their peace? The question for us is whether or not the kingdom of God has such a high value for us. Whether our Savior Jesus Christ is worth to us even the loss of everything around us, if need be, to retain the kingdom of God in our hearts. Now that's what we find in one of the new hymns in our hymnal, this sentiment of the Christian for which this is true. We sang this a few weeks ago. Maybe you remember it when we sang, "All for Christ I have forsaken and have taken up my cross. Worldly joy, its fame and fortune." You might have remembered this line. "Now I count as worthless dross." What's dross? What's dross? Dross is that scum, that material that forms on the surface of metal after it is melted, and it's in liquid form. If you've ever seen that occur, metal melting, you know that on the surface of that melted metal, there are these impurities that appear, which often are then, they're skimmed off. Now, the focus of the hymn writer of that hymn is to see the troubles and travails of life in the context of the great treasure, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, which, that's his point. And here we can think of the athletes, the high school athletes, junior high athletes who begin practice this week maybe, or maybe they began last week already with the hard stuff, with the conditioning in the heat, being driven on through practice after practice, boring practices. With the hope of glory, with the hope of competing, with the hope of wearing a uniform, of winning. If that were not part of athletics, the glory, the competing, the uniform, who'd show up for practice, especially this week? Well, that definitely is an aspect of the Christian life, isn't it? Our hope of glory in the future, our heavenly home, our eternal existence and utter peace and joy. But our text this morning would focus on another aspect of our life here and now, and that is not our suffering looking towards our future glory, but our glories now, here on earth, and how they rank in our heart next to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Could we forsake them? Would we sell them all for the greatest treasure, which is the forgiveness which we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? In the Gospel of John, in the 6th chapter, we read of a poignant moment in the life of our Savior when many stopped following him. They stopped following him because what he taught them was too hard for them to accept. And at that point, Jesus turned to the 12 who he chose, and he asked, "Do you want to go away as well? Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So not surprisingly, in our worship service, what do we sing so often as we rise from our seats to receive the gift of the gospel? And that is, "Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Or in other words, "Alleluia, what treasure in this world is greater than the treasure that is before us in the gospel of Jesus? Alleluia, what worldly treasure can even compare to what we've received and what we do receive in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" But we do struggle with this, don't we? We struggle with this relationship of our treasures on earth to that which is Christ. I mean, our new man, the new creation within us, rejoices that we have this pearl of great price, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and really needs nothing else. Our new man is happy. Our new man sees everything in life in relationship to the gospel of Jesus. That's work and family and news and sports and cars and even weeding out our flower beds, but not so our old Adam. Our old Adam would try to convince us, and he does so relentlessly, that if Jesus is where our heart is, if Jesus is our greatest treasure, if everything is not as important to us as Jesus Christ, well, we're just going to miss out on life, aren't we? We're not going to have the job we want. We're going to alienate ourselves from our family and friends. And in general, we're going to fall into a stupor of boredom, as all we end up doing in life as Christians is read our Bibles and pray and every Sunday attend church. I mean, that's what it means, doesn't it, to put Christ first in your life? So the reasoning of the old Adam. Well, it is true that we should read our Bibles daily, and it's true that we should pray constantly, morning, noon, and night, and it's true that we should attend worship, making it truly a priority. But why do we do these things? Why do we do these things? We do these things so that we can serve the world, not because we wish to possess it like some treasure, not because if we don't serve the world, we ourselves will be somewhat less, not because we desire somehow the world's approval, but living through faith in Christ, we can serve the world in all that we do out of love for our Lord and Savior. That is, we serve it not to possess or preserve or to maintain it because it's of such great value to us, because it's our treasure, but we serve the world because our Savior Jesus Christ himself is of such value. Because our Savior himself is our treasure. We love because he first loved us, and he continues to love us. We don't love because the thing which we love is so desirous and appealing and compelling. Yes, our old Adam loves in that sort of way, but not our new man. Our new man always loves, always serves, always maintains, not out of desire, but because he knows he already has the greatest, the most wondrous, the most valuable thing in the world, and that is the forgiveness of sin and life and salvation, which is ours in Christ. How does this make our life different? How does it make each day, each moment different? Well, it's a bit of freedom, isn't it? Freedom in this world. I mean, if we wouldn't need to spend our time thinking about how we were going to buy something or having bought it, how we're going to maintain it or having maintained it for so many years, how we were going to get value out of it. Yeah, so we didn't have to spend all of our time thinking about such things because we feared that if we got them wrong, somehow there'd be dire consequences. Wouldn't that mean a freedom of our souls? Sure, we'd still need to buy and maintain and sell. But if the things we're buying and maintaining and selling are not our greatest treasure, but Christ alone is our greatest treasure, well, everything else is kept in perspective, proper perspective. We live daily with peaceful consciences and restful souls and the sure and certain hope of eternal glory. Our text again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. Now may the peace